The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. Whichever field of deen we look at, we see your success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, we bring another interesting, informative, and faith-refreshing episode of the program which goes by the name of The Genius of the East. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, up to now, we have covered various aspects of the scientific achievements of Imam Ahle Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatur rahman. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, in today's episode, we will cover another dimension of the versatile personality of Imam Ahle Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh from the aspect of his scientific achievements. Which topic will we be covering today? Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we will find out about it after listening to the virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi wa Alihi wa Sallam. Therefore, Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahle Sunnat, founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi Ziyai, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, mentions a beautiful virtue of reciting Durood-e Pak in his beautiful booklet, The Calls of the River. He mentions that it is stated in Al-Qawlul Badir that after the demise of Sayyiduna Abul Abbas Ahmad bin Mansur Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, someone from Shiraz saw him in a dream dressed in heavenly clothing with a crown of pearls on his head, standing in the mihrab in the ark of the main masjid of Shiraz. The dreaming person asked, Ma fa'alallahu bika, i.e., how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you? He rahmatullahi ta'ala replied, that alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, I used to recite salat, durood-e paak, upon the Rasul of Rahmah, intercessor of Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, abundantly, and this act of mine brought about my success. Allah Azza wa Jal not only forgave me and bestowed upon me this crown, but also made me to enter the paradise. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, today, again, very important topic, again, very important field of science in which Imam Ahle Sunnat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman attained an acclaimed and remarkable status. Yes, my dear Sami brothers, we will be discussing the field of chemistry today. Chemistry again is very important in our daily lives, and Imam Ahle Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi also excelled in the field of chemistry. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Without any further delay, we will now move on to our Muballighi Dawat Islami, who will insha'Allah Azza wa Jal take us further into the expertise of Imam Ahle Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi into chemistry and also what chemistry is all about. So Huzur, today we will be talking about chemistry. So where would you like to take us today in regards to chemistry?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I think over the last few episodes, we have covered various aspects of science. So again, chemistry being such a basic science, you will not expect Sayyidi Ala Zaliyah Rahma to do any less than he would have done on the subject. So again, in terms of chemistry, it's such a broad subject, and the details to which Sayyidi Ala Zaliyah Rahma has gone. So I would invite readers, if you look at the first three volumes of Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, the examples he has given of his knowledge of chemistry, they're all incredible. And I thought that within the constraints of time, there are two main things which I would like to discuss. So firstly, I would like to talk a bit about water.
Right.
Something which is basic need of human life, and we know that without water, life won't exist. But water is such a beautiful creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that if we look at the freezing point of water, the boiling point of water, its chemical properties, its physical properties, it is simply an amazement even to a scientist. So for example, if you look at the atomic weight of water, the H2O, so the two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen, if we look at other compounds which have similar molecular weight, they won't exist in a liquid form and room temperature.
Right.
Hydrogen sulfide, for example, so the students of chemistry would know that is a gas.
Right.
So it would need to be cooled down a lot below room temperature to get it into a liquid form. But water, having a very similar atomic weight, is still able to exist in a liquid form. How does that happen? And so this is still one of those mysteries of chemistry, and a lot of people have spent time on that. On the other hand, if we look at water and in the forms it exists, whether we look at clouds, whether we look at our whole ecological system, and how water is cycled through the various stages, going from the oceans into clouds, to vapors, to then rains, and then how it goes beneath the surface of the earth, and then we extract it again, the procedure of purification. I mean, the list goes on and on. That's all chemistry of water. And the beauty of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma is that he is the one who is discussing these abstract concepts of water under discussions of, again, Islamic questions. So that's what Sayyidi Ala Ali Rahma is excellent at doing. So for example, if we when it comes to water, so one of the first things he writes about water, he gives an example of vapors,
right,
and how they go into clouds, and he compares them to snow particles.
Right.
And he says both are forms of water, vapors which are going into clouds, and snowflakes. So snow is frozen water, vapor is the gaseous form of water. And this is, again, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman, not as a chemist, not as a chemical scientist. He's talking about it in the forms of why vapors go up and the snowflakes come down.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah.
Look at the depth and breadth of his knowledge of chemistry. And under that topic, he then talks about the fine particles of water, how they can combine and join together, how they can become a vapor to go up towards the clouds, and then how could, with atmospheric changes, that water can turn into a snowflake and then start falling down, and how the densities of those are different, and why they would have different results depending on which form of water it's existing. So this, you know, in-depth discussion about properties of water coming from Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma discussing the types of water.
SubhanAllah, it's amazing when whichever aspect of Imam Ahl Sunnat Ali Rahma's life we're talking about, whether him as a physician, as a taxonomist, or, you know, topologist, or whatever aspect we want to pick up, as we look into it, it looks as if he is an expert. I mean, as you've just mentioned, and you mentioned one thing, that he is not a chemical scientist, but listening to this, I in a way cannot comprehend the fact that he is not a chemical scientist, that how can someone without being a chemical scientist have so much in-depth knowledge regarding chemistry. But again, it amazes the readers, it amazes us regarding what great personality this was, that whichever aspect we are picking up, whether it is worldly aspect, whether it is scientific aspect, whether it is religious aspect, you name it, and you will see the name of Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, to be right at the top.
Exactly. And then when he's talking about water, again, it's all in the context of why it is important for thee. So relevant to that, a question comes to him about when would you call water pure?
Sure.
So when is it clean? So alhamdulillah, those who travel in Madani kaflas or who adhere to the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, they would be used to these terms. What is clean and pure water which you can use for worship? So that's wudu. Which water is mustamal or used water which you can't use for wudu?
Right.
What's the difference between them? So question comes along those lines. And look at how, say, the Ala Hazrat alayhi rahma, he goes into the discussion. So we have always considered that water is considered clean and pure if it is colorless, it's odorless, and it is, so it has those two properties. So colorless, it's odorless, and it's tasteless. So if you have those three properties, then it is, we would call it clean water. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, under that discussion, he goes into why water is colorless.
Allahu Akbar.
And the arguments he's given, the evidence he's provided about how water changes its shapes based on which utensil it goes into. So we know if you put water in glass compared to putting water in a bowl, it changes its composition. So why does it do that? Why do you need a water which is, as we call it in sort of pure term, would be mai jari? So that is running water. Why do you need running water to clean things? Why can't it be stagnant water? Why is color of water so important? So he goes into such in-depth discussion, and this is all talking about chemical properties now of water. So there is a reason why Sharia wants us to do that way. But what is the chemical reason behind that? And Sayyidi Ali Rahma, he goes into that discussion. And then he even talks about, could you call water white or black? Could you call whether water is porous? So that's another very interesting, intriguing question. So a porous substance is through which anything could pass. And obviously, so we sometimes use filtering to clear water. So the question is, the substance through which water passes is porous, but is water porous itself? If you tried to put things through water, would they pass? What is the definition of porosity? And how do you define whether water is porous or not? This is all coming under discussion of properties of water, the physico-chemical characteristics of water, and how does it, again, bringing it back to how does it relate to Sharia?
And it's amazing in terms of when Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh is talking about the properties of water, he alayhi rahma brings it back to the aspect of deen where we need water to purify ourselves. He's not using it for any worldly purposes. As we spoke earlier in our previous episodes, that again, water is a very important component of our lives, whether you want to drink it or purify ourselves. So it's just amazing to know the knowledge of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, even in terms of the properties of the water and how comprehensively he discusses these changes in the water. But at the meantime, Dr. Saab, a thought comes to the mind that water being a vital component of our lives, we can't exist without it. We can't survive without it. What a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is. But how negligently, heedlessly we waste water. Although we've been warned in a hadith mubarakah not to waste water, when we've been taught these many precautions in a hadith and in the teachings of Sharia, then how negligent we are in terms of preserving water and wasting water on regular basis. And if we look into the part that Dawat-e-Islami has played into bringing awareness amongst the people regarding using water wisely and not wasting water, is also a big credit goes to Dawat-e-Islami in this regard as well. And talking on the same note, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, the viewpoint Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah has given in regards to planting trees. As planting trees, obviously, it preserves water and it is very beneficial for us. Obviously, it helps it to rain and so on and so forth. We know the benefits of this. And the target Amiri Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al Ali has given in this tree planting campaign, which is started in Pakistan, to plant 1 billion trees, which obviously would preserve water, and this great blessing of Allah Almighty we will be able to use in a better way. So being obviously bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His servants, we must use water wisely and ensure, make sure that we don't waste this beautiful blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise we will be held accountable on one day regarding the usage of water, regarding the wastage of water that obviously we performed in this world.
No, absolutely. And I guess that's, again, the credit goes to Amir al-Sunnah, where he's thinking about, again, this is the ecological knowledge of Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al Ali, and again reflected in Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma's teachings as well. So as you said, you know, planting trees, it maintains environment, it cleans environment, it improves environment. And why are we doing all of this? Because Amir Ahl Sunnah gives us the thought that you do it because it is also the way of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So by having that intention, we are not only conserving one of the best bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but we are also reaping the reward of following the way of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala. And that reminds me that even one of the scholars and a disciple of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, Mawlana Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullah Ta'ala, when he's invited to someone's home and the tap is leaking, a scholar is there, he's invited. He didn't think for a moment, he asked the host and said, could you kindly get it rectified now? And he delayed it and says, okay, I'm leaving. I can't see the wastage of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's bounty. So that was the teaching which was passing through his disciples, those he has taught. What would we say, the Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma's thoughts on that? And related to that, I guess we're slightly on a different note. We talked about taxonomy of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah and in his way. One of the beautiful examples of that comes under the discussion of, as you said, about israf, about wastage of water. And Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ta'ala is this beauty of reclassifying the things which seem rather tangential and rather opposite to each other, and whether there was any contradictory statement. So this is what I guess the scholars would call the tatbiq bainul aqwal al muta'arida. So when there is contradiction. So we know that israf fil wudu, so as you mentioned about the example of water. So ulama ikram over the years have written about water wastage and what category it is, whether it's haram, whether it's makruh tahrimi or tanzihi and all of that. And different scholars took different views. And the beauty of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma is that he does not want people to take this message that there was rather conflict or contradiction between our Saleh Awliya Ikram Rahimahullah Al-Mubeen and between the research. So Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ta'ala, under this discussion, he then reclassifies all of that research and he does this tatbiq. He brings them all together, he systematically reviews it, and he says that if you do it, depending, it all depends on your intention. With what intention you wasted water in wudu, and that will recategorize it into either it's haram or whether it is makruh. So, you know, he has, in bringing all that knowledge back to deen, back
and
to Islam.
Again, the beautiful point you mentioned, that he didn't want people to think that there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars on this issue, and people start deducing the rulings, what suits them. So what I could understand from your discussion was that he beautifully reclassified all the opinions of the righteous predecessors, rahimahumullah al-mubeen, and under the light of those difference of opinions, obviously a scholar like Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh guided laymen like us that what did that difference of opinion amongst the righteous predecessors actually mean?
That's right.
Because we are no one to start, because the problem we have nowadays is that we start deducing rulings based on our own intellect. Whereas if I'm not a doctor, I won't prescribe anything to myself. I'll come to the specialist of the field of medicine. You won't have any kind of patient who himself is not a doctor and will start prescribing himself something. But in the matter of deen, in the matter of religion, which is in fact more critical than our own lives, we take it very lightly. And we start deducing rulings based on, you know, what suits us. But over here, what I could understand, what I could comprehend from your discussion was that Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, along with various other favors, he's done another great favor upon the Ummah, that he reclassified, he brought together all the differences of opinions of our righteous predecessors, Rahimahumullah, and then explained that what it actually means, and us being laymen, what we need to follow, rather than deducing what suits us and leave what doesn't suit us.
That's right. So he really contextualizes the information. So you always have to interpret it in the context of the information given. And that's the quality of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, Alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah. And when we talk about the properties of water and chemical side of things of water or any other aspect, I mean, water is just one aspect. When we're talking about chemical theories, obviously we're lost in water at the moment for the time being. But obviously chemical is more, is beyond water and obviously other particles. But obviously just thinking about it, we're just discussing water at the moment. But what else would you like to share with the viewers of Madani Channel? Expertise of chemical that Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh possessed.
So, Alhamdulillah, yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, there is, again, there's usually so much to share, and then I guess within the constraints of time. So, a couple of other things which I would like to point to before we go to the final point. He talked about the chemical properties of glass.
Right.
So, question comes to him about mirror. So, we talked about his reflection of light and his concepts there.
In the episode of physics, we spoke about it.
In the episode of physics about, exactly. And now the question is, the chemical properties of glass. How is glass produced? When a mirror is broken, why does the broken edges look white?
Mm-hmm.
So look at the depth of the question and the answer. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma is very confidently explaining why does the glass look like that. Then he talks about types of sand. Then he goes into periodic table. And then he talks about sulfur. He talks about mercury. He talks about why mercury doesn't stay in fire. Why does mercury spread? So why does mercury usually combine? So we've all seen mercury when we get the blood pressure measured in the old, you know, the old-fashioned system. So we see that mercury rises, and it's a very famous proverb. And mercury, when mercury rises, that means temperature is going up. But that's a chemical property of mercury. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma is also commenting on why mercury behaves so differently to other substances in the periodic table, for example. Then he talks about the types of combustion. So the type of fire we can get, the types of combustion, the types of stones. Then he talks about types of water. You know, the list goes on and on. There's so much to talk about here. But I think one of the things which is really key to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma's research, and which, again, I'm sure our viewers will be highly surprised about, are his views about atomic model.
Right.
So that's something which I think, again, so if you look at the very basic of chemistry, a lot of time over the years has been spent on discussing atom. So we are talking about starting from Democritus, talking about, you know, so we're talking about several years BC, when he gave this concept of
right.
What is the smallest particle of matter. So it starts from that, and then various other scientists and even the contemporaries of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, a lot of research was happening in chemistry at that point,
right.
And atomic models were being presented. So the word atom, that comes from a Greek word called atomos, which means indivisible. So something which cannot be divided. So this question comes to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. And the question is that atom, which has been discovered, and that is considered to be the smallest unit of matter, which is indivisible, cannot be destroyed, cannot be divided. Is that possible? Does that correlate with the teachings of Islam? So again, you know, look at the mindset of those people to ask those questions. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he gives an example. So he's now conflicting with the theory presenting. So he's giving his argument against that.
Allah.
To say that atom is indivisible, it is not. It does not correlate. It does not associate with the teaching of Islam. And then he quotes from chapter 34, verse 7. The translation of that is, if you are reduced to minute particles, you will be created anew. So he quotes that from the Holy Quran, and he says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can even divide that the smallest matter which has been decided by scientists, he can divide it even further, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can also recreate it and make it back to what it was look like. So Sayyidi Hazrat Ali Rahma is giving that research. So that goes out and people are all surprised. You know, he is now not accepting the which was considered a standard theory.
And he's contradicting the theory of those who are expert in this field.
Who are experts in this field. And they're all coming from Western world who are presenting these theories. And it was shown within the life of Sayyidi Ali Hazrat Ali Rahma that that theory, of the, which came from the Greeks originally, that atom is the smallest matter, they proved that if we were able to strike the atom with enough force, we can even get into the subatomic particles,
Allah,
which we now know as electrons, protons, and neutrons. So Sayyidi Ali Hazrat Ali Rahma gave evidence from the Holy Quran, and he was able to show that that is not true, and then ultimately the science proved his side and his concept, and says yes, the atom can be destroyed. It can be, it can be converted into all those particles. And you know, and he goes even further, talking about the energy which is then released from that. So we all now know the nuclear reactors through which we get our energy. So the process which is happening there is the process of nuclear fission,
right?
Where you try and destroy that atomic particle, and the energy which is released, that is then converted into electricity. Similarly, you can rejoin all of that, and that is called nuclear fusion. All those theories which have now since been presented, Sayyidi Ali Hazrat Ali Rahma was already alluding to them and said Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can destroy them and then he can recreate.
Subhanallah, mashallah. And look at the firm belief of Ala Hazrat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Holy Quran. So your theory is contradicting the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hence there's no way your theory can be right. And then the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with through that, he with proofs and scientific evidences, he proved them to be wrong. And if you think about it, Dr. Saab, back in those days, again, as we've been constantly saying this, that there were no such means, and in fact those who were backing the theory that atom cannot be divided further, they had all the apparent means.
That's right.
They were those who had big names in the field of science. They had the apparent means, the up-to-date laboratories, you name it. You know, they had all the financial resources, whatever you want to name it. But then we have someone like Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, who's known for his Islamic services, sitting in Bareilly Sharif, and without any apparent means of resources. And all of a sudden he comes up and he refutes those principles of science which at that time were proven by the experts of science. Why? Because they were contradicting the ayah of the Holy Quran. And then he, through their own knowledge, through science obviously, refuted them and denied them. And almost a century later, those scientific findings of Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh are being proven in today's day and age, because back then they didn't have the technology to prove it. But today, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, those theories are being proven. But again, we come to know that we need to mold our lives towards Islam, towards Quran, not ma'adullah mold the Islamic teachings and rulings towards our lifestyle. The success of both worlds lies, the success of both worlds, your status, your fame, everything lies towards molding your lives towards Sharia, not molding Sharia towards to suit our lifestyles. And as we keep talking about the chemical side of things and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, let's take the example of water. A beautiful blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've talked about atoms and neutrons and electrons and all these. But when we come back to water, we see that Zamzam Sharif,
subhanallah,
a great blessing. Even amongst waters, Zamzam Sharif is the most superior. It's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please take us through the hadith regarding Zamzam Sharif and what benefits it has for the ummah.
Subhanallah. So, I mean, I guess, again, whether it's Zamzam Sharif or any other water, they again have that atomic structure. And so, as I already said, you know, these two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen combining to make it water. So, but we know that the characteristics of water change depending on what we have, where it is, which utensil it is in, all of that. So similarly, so we know that there is hard water. We know that there is soft water. So all those, again, are types of water which we're all accustomed to, we're all used to, we see them in our everyday life. But I guess Zamzam Sharif, and that is Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma, when he says that the influence and the effect of Zamzam Sharif, it reaches to all waters around the world. And it is that Zamzam Sharif which whoever drinks it for whatever reason, so I think that summary of that hadith is that whoever drinks it for whatever purpose, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala fulfills it. And that's when Sayyidi Ala Ta'ala Rahman, so with his knowledge of about water and, you know, all these in-depth discussions, so that is the knowledge side of things. That is a scientist speaking. That is a scholar speaking. But then he goes on the beautiful travel to Medina Sharif, to Hajj, and he comes across Zamzam Sharif, and he says, if I get ill, I drink Zamzam Sharif and I get better. And it is that Zamzam Sharif which has these incredible properties that it changes its taste wherever you are, and it changes its taste depending on what is your level, where are you standing, and how are you feeling. And of course that is a wali of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala who can notice those differences. But there, he's not talking about the physical or chemical characteristics. Here is the love speaking.
Allahu Akbar.
So that is again a quality of a great scholar. When you need to answer a critical question, you come to all the evidence, you give all the arguments in favor, you prove your theory, everything. But then a true believer, a true lover of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he comes to Makkatul Mukarramah, he's standing next to the well of Zamzam Sharif, he forgets all of that.
Allah.
It comes right to the basic love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his love for Zamzam Sharif. And he says, yes, this is the water, this you must drink it, it has a cure to all illnesses. So I think it is that balance which I think we perhaps are lacking now, as you alluded to as well. You know, we are so much engrossed in modern science, and you know, there's been Higgs boson particle which has now been discovered, the smallest particle in atom, and we are able to measure it. You know, so people are engrossed in that. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma was way ahead of his time when he was talking about these things. But still, when it came to the matters of love and the love for the hereafter, the love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't confine himself to that. He said, no, when we come here, then you forget all of that. Forget your knowledge. Forget everything else. We are here in the court of the Mustafa Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. That's how we should be.
SubhanAllah, mashallah. Beautifully explained, Dr. Sabin. I think this humbleness and humility is something that takes you to that level. And the humility and humbleness that Imam Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman had, that was second to none. That was matchless. And various awliya karam rahimahumullah have come, but the level of humbleness and humility you would see in Imam Ahlul Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, it is very difficult to find such example in the history or in the present. And undoubtedly, this humility, this humbleness, this trait of humbleness is something which elevated him to those ranks where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with such knowledge. And my dear son, brothers and viewers of Madani channel, what a beautiful message. We're not only learning about the versatile personality of Imam Ahlul Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh from the dimension of from the scientific dimension, but also we're trying to derive some madani pearls from his blessed seerah that we can implement into our lives as well to better our lives for this world and for the hereafter. So beautiful lesson which we get from his versatile personality. One of the beautiful lessons is Madani Pearls is that as Imam Ahlul Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he refuted those scientific evidences just because they were going against the command of the Holy Quran. So he brought everything towards the Sharia. We also need to bring our lives, our lifestyles towards the Sharia. We shall not be bringing the Sharia towards our lifestyles. We need to sacrifice our nafs where Sharia refrains us from. If our nafs, if we want to do something and Sharia it prohibits us, we need to stop over there rather than looking for lame excuses that no, you know, through this justification we can do this, through this justification we can do that. No, we are not to bring Sharia towards our lifestyle, but rather we need to take our lifestyles, we need to mold our lifestyles with into the parameters of Sharia. And salvation for us in both worlds lies in following these very beautiful principles which have been set down for us, laid down for us by our Imam, Imam Ahle Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in today's episode we briefly covered his brilliance and his expertise on the topic of chemistry, on the grasp he had on the chemistry, on the atoms and on the components of water and on the properties of water and so many other things. This was just a gist of understanding what Imam Ahle Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, what grip he had and what grasp he had on the topic of chemistry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to tread on the path of Imam Ahle Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Insha'Allah azza wa jal, in our next episode we will be back with another beautiful topic regarding Imam Ahle Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi's versatile personality and another dimension, another scientific branch in which he alayhi rahmah had expertise in. Till then, take very good care of yourself and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. Whichever field or